Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest, no stranger to the program. He's been on a few times before. State Senator Dan Roberts represents folks Jefferson, Shelby, and Talladega County, if I'm not mistaken.
That's it. Well, good morning and Happy New Year, Jeff.
Hey, thank you for joining us, and Happy New Year to you as well. We get you out here to talk about a few things. First off, everything going okay in your neck of the woods?
It is. It's, I think, just like everywhere else in the state, we're seeing the COVID numbers continue to increase. And from talking to our medical guys, they're anticipating this to kind of peak mid-January and then start to mitigate just a little bit. And so everyone I know, everywhere you go, there are people that are sick or have family members that are sick. So it would be true what they're saying there. But we're doing well and grateful.
Well, that's good to hear. The COVID numbers on the uptick, initially when we started having these discussions last year, everyone seemed to be, a little worried, a little terrified, if even. But now I get the sense there's almost a desensitization to what's going on.
Yeah, it is, until it hits somebody close. And I talked to one of our county commissioners this morning, a mayor, and then another colleague. And that colleague has members in that are sick right now. The commissioner had one of his relatives pass away Saturday. So it's everywhere. It's what we said, at the beginning, it was kind of an anomaly to know someone who was sick. And today, I think we all do. But the numbers are still increasing, but some of the other numbers are flattening out. And, there's calls going on with physicians that are working on some alternative things that they're seeing great results with, and lots of moving parts to this.
Senator, I want to get you on to talk about, you've been kind of at the center of discussion here. You and several other of your colleagues on Goat Hill have been talking about taxation, COVID-19, the economy not where it was before the pandemic by any means, but certainly could be, it certainly isn't as bad in shape as I suppose it could be. But there are a lot of things we need to look at with taxation and take into consideration. Where are we right now? Obviously, the governor has her executive orders holding back on taxing CARES Act benefits. But just from our past discussion, it sounds like there's more that could be done.
Yep, there is. What she dealt with was no taxation on the stimulus money, both the $1,200 and then this next $600 that is coming. So she dealt with that via an executive order. We will still have to come back when we get in session and pass a bill to codify that. So we have a bill that does that. We've worked for months with Alabama Society of CPAs, Janine Birmingham and her group, and they've been very helpful in getting the exact wording of how this would work. And so we have a bill for that, and right behind that would be the PPP loan forgiveness for corporations and entities. So we're ready to deal with that as soon as we get back in.
Well, and so there's a plan to proceed. Here's a question for you, we never hear these discussions at the state level, but you do hear a lot of praise, and warranted, that the state has this reserve fund, it has a rainy day fund, that the coffers of the state are not as bad as a lot of other states. And my question is there any room for a tax cut? That, should the state have these big reserves, then if that is indeed the case, then at what point do we give some of that money, once we have enough in the reserve, back to the taxpayer?
Well, we are working on that. As in 2017, when the Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act passed in Washington, effectively for our state, we're one of two states that allows you to deduct federal income taxes paid on your state return. So it's Louisiana and Alabama are the only two states that allow that. So I was assigned to be chairman of a committee to study the corporate impact of that. So we've worked on this a year and a half, a little over a year and a half now, and we have a bill to address that, which would come back and help not just true C corps and corporations, but all entities that employ people. And we're working on that because there was an increase in corporate tax of about 19%. Just it's a quadratic equation, and everyone remembers doing those, but probably hadn't done one in a while. But the effective rate in Alabama went up from about 4.3% on corporations to about 5.2%. So we have a bill to address that, which would help make Alabama companies more competitive and thus put them in a situation to continue their hiring growth and make us competitive with the rest of the Southeast. If we were looking at this in football terms, we would not allow Alabama or nor Auburn to be non-competitive in the recruiting business. And that's what we've effectively done to our corporation. So we have a way that we think is fair and revenue neutral to accomplish this. And there are four different factors that are involved. It gets somewhat detailed, and accountants like to talk about it. But we're putting our state so that we can compete in the Southeastern Conference, if you will, on corporate tax rates.
Well, corporate tax rates, yeah, there's much to be desired, but doesn't Alabama have a competitive advantage in other areas? Forgive me for not knowing the tax code, but it seems that there are still pluses to coming to locating your industry here in the state.
Without question, our property taxes were number 49 in the country. Yep. There are tremendous benefits to live in Alabama. We know what we have, and in many ways, it's one of the best kept secrets in the country. We have a lot of positive things going for us, but what you find, there's one aspect of this called a single sales factor. That alone causes, we get a Mercedes, we get a Mazda, Toyota, we get a Hyundai, and larger manufacturers, but then their ancillary suppliers locate on the other side of the state line, because they can then sell into Alabama exclusively, in many cases, these ancillary manufacturers. And our state doesn't benefit from the jobs or the growth that would come with that. So that's one of the aspects, I think, that would really help on our employment and help us grow the jobs in Alabama.
And your case is you can maintain that this would be revenue neutral, or at least maybe even if you're a supply sider, it could increase tax revenues for the state.
Oh, I think it definitely will increase tax revenues. And as you know, these tax revenues got our education trust fund, and we all know where we rank educationally in the United States. And that's one of my biggest objectives of how do we help our state improve in the education aspect of families being here. There's so many things that are positive about our state, but we have a lot of areas that have fallen behind, and I want to help those improve. And that's what many of my colleagues that have been working with me on this are totally in favor of this as well.
But that, and here's where I think you'd get pushback. It's a tax cut for the rich. It's a tax cut for the wealthy. It's the same thing we saw with the first part of the Trump administration. I mean, and look at our schools, and we're talking about lowering taxes. Does that criticism concern you if you get on down the road with this idea?
Well, we're not talking about cutting taxes. We had a 19% increase on corporations, and there was another aspect of it that is called state and local tax, or SALT. And that got limited to $10,000 per individual. So probably 95% of the businesses that are started in our state are not C corporations, but pass-through entities. So we have an aspect of our bill that the Internal Revenue Service ruled on in December that they're allowing, which would allow for a workaround with state and local tax deduction on your federal income tax, so it would actually benefit thousands of people in our state, not just big corporations. You know, the small business is what runs our nation and runs our state, and this would be a benefit to small business, allow them to continue to grow and hire more and expand, and they would be incentivized to add additional employees. You take the small business that has two employees, adding that third person is a 33% increase in their employment. And those are big decisions that go on. And giving these guys the opportunity to go out and grow their businesses or start a business. You know, many guys coming out of college are trying to figure out, do we start a business? Do we try to go work for a larger company? And this would give them a level playing field compared to other states.
Joined by State Senator Dan Roberts here on the program. Senator, let's move on to gambling, gaming. It seems like every discussion at some point gets back to that. We've been dealing with this issue for most of my lifetime easily in Alabama. Yeah. This gambling task force report, you talk to these guys that are in and around and involved in this. They seem to be more optimistic that all the sides can come together. What do you think? Where are we today in 2021 now with regards to Alabama and gambling?
Well, the aspects of it are, do you go lottery or do you go more than that all the way up to class three, which would be full table gaming in the state? And you know, in our state, we have different factions that have not been able to get on the same page, and that has probably been the major hindrance of getting something accomplished. But I'm anticipating that there will be legislation offered to address this, really right in line with what the report was, and that report came out just recently, and I've read it, I'm sure you have, and I posted it on our Facebook page. Dan Roberts for Alabama, and you can read the report there, and it's very detailed. You know, Mayor Todd Strange, former mayor of Montgomery, headed up that commission, and it's a very detailed report, and there are glowing numbers that can come with it. To me, the question is that something we want in our state? And is that the vision we have for our children and grandchildren to leave them with that? Because many reports that I've read state that it hurts the poorest among us to bring this into the state.
And we never have that discussion. It's always this, the other states are doing it. We should too. And look at all the money we're leaving on the table. But I'm not like taking a side here, but we don't have the discussion about what the cultural impact would be if indeed you did proceed with some kind of legalized gaming in Alabama.
I believe it was 2007, 8, or 9 in there when the last big push came to defeat that. And the studies I read there were not positive on the macro impact on the state. You know, you'll have those that struggle from the gambling addiction, and you and I both know guys that wager regularly probably and aren't doing it in the state. I have people who stop me all the time that want to be able to buy a lottery ticket in the state. And the latest polling I've seen on that is in the 70 percentile of people that want to have what they call a lottery in our state. So I think the electric might approve that. It's the next step that comes with this. Are you creating a cascade of challenges that would come up with approving the lottery? Then does that give certain interest the opportunity then to go get a compact with the governor? And then does that open up to class three gaming automatically once we bring in the lottery?
Yeah,
I think that's a concern many have.
I think you're right. It just doesn't escalate. It's like anything else that you open that doorway and then it goes even further. Senator, we're about out of time here. But I do appreciate you making time for us and talking about this stuff. I think it's a really important discussion to have.
I agree. I appreciate the time, and good luck and blessings to you and your bride going through this new year.
Well, we appreciate that. We'll do it again real soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day.
State Senator Dan Roberts, ladies and gentlemen.